Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 192. So today I'm talking to Rafi Makapagal of Ascent BPO. Rafi has had a stellar career in the outsourcing industry for over 14 years now, and started his outsourcing career as a second career. And he started in Teletech, which is one of the bigger BPOs here in the Philippines. He actually started with Teletech when it had just 60 staff. And in his 6 or 7 years with the company, he took or was a part of that company as it grew to 24,000 people. And Rafi grew up from being basically on the line or on the floor doing the day-to-day work, and actually got up to be country manager leadership level. So quite an incredible journey. And he shares the experience of growing this company from effectively, or growing with this company from 60 people to 24,000 people in only a few years. So really interesting insight there. I have enjoyed my conversation with Rafi. It took a little bit longer. This was a slightly longer episode, but I'm sure you'll enjoy it. If you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/192. Enjoy. Okay. All right, we'll go from here. So, hi and welcome back, everybody. Today, I'm excited to be joined by Rafi Makapagal. How are you, Rafi?
Doing very well, Derek. Thank you for inviting me over. Absolute, hi, everybody.
Absolute pleasure. And Rafi, you have had a... We're going to get to hear a bit about your story. You're proudly Filipino, obviously, and running a completely 100% Filipino-owned outsourcing operation here in the Philippines. You haven't just fallen into this industry, but you've had a stellar career right through the entire development of the kind of outsourcing sector here within the Philippines. So excited to tap into your experience and also hear a little bit more about Ascent, which is the BPO that you run here in the Philippines. So thank you so much for coming today. I suppose initially, Rafi, are you able just to introduce yourself, and then I suppose we can deep dive into your journey?
Sure. My name is Rafi Makapagal. I am currently the founder and the president of the outsourcing company that Derek was just mentioning, Ascent. It is actually founded in 2014, barely about 4 years ago. And I started my journey about 14 years ago, entering into this industry while, the birth of the huge outsourcing business in the Philippines are still in the conception stage. So I currently run two companies related to outsourcing, namely the Ascentology, which is our business process outsourcing for all small and medium enterprises. And we also do exclusive and specialized outsourcing, recruitment outsourcing. Here we cater at least the top 10 biggest BPO companies in the Philippines in terms of finding the talents that they need. And as such, we capitalize on the years and years and years of experience of the entire team. So we're just a small company that is 100% Filipino owned, that has probably more than 5 decades of experience combined within the leadership team. A small company that has big international and multinational experience. That's what we can offer. And we are specifically like a small shop that actually caters to small and medium enterprises.
Right. Fantastic. And so how exactly did you start your journey into outsourcing? You started, kind of 14 years ago, the industry was a lot smaller, but it kind of was filled with giants back then, really, wasn't it? You know, kind of sites with tens of thousands of staff and dealing with a lot of call center functions, dealing with a lot of the blue chips over in the US. How did you, what was your integration into outsourcing and what was it looking like 12 or 14 years ago?
Yes. And this is a very, very, you know, odd story for everybody because I came from another industry. I was in the financials and the investments world. I was already at the executive level position. When I heard about the outsourcing business, I looked at it as a wave of the future. I saw that it's going to be big in the Philippines, knowing how great the market or the job market is here with the talents that we have and the you know, the English speaking capability of the Filipinos having it as a second language. Probably 30% of the Filipinos has that as a first language. So I saw that this particular business is going to be really big. So I decided during that time to shift coming from where I was to where I think it will be best from a career standpoint. But I was already semi-retired, if I may say so. I mean, I was just trying to do, you know, the things that I love doing. I was just like doing marathons, I was doing basketball. I was just like working out. During that time that I happened to bump into someone in the mall. So I was just doing grocery. And I was able to speak to one of the recruiters. And I was like asking her questions about the company that is recruiting. And that company is... if I may just say the name, it's Teletech.
Right,
Teletech,
right.
During that time, has one site that is in partnership with PLDT. So it was, it's called ePLDT during that time.
And PLDT and being one of the already, big telecoms.
And they're trying to actually start their own site. And it happened to be just about a few meters away from our village, the Robinson's Mall. And I got interested because it felt like the person that I was talking to is enjoying what she's doing. She speaks very well, and I saw the confidence in her, and I was like really, really curious about the company. Then out of the blue, I always carry my CV. I went to the car and actually gave it to her, and she immediately rejected me. She said that the openings are only for customer service representatives and for technical support. And she saw that my CV had there as vice president of my previous company. And I said, like, no, forget about whatever it is that's there. I just wanted to actually enter as a at an entry level. I wanted to understand the business because that is how I plan my journey to be in the BPO. I wanted to understand it from the entry level up to the highest level, highest ranking level. And I wanted to be exposed in all the departments in order for me to be able to run someday my own.
So you, that was you went and did that? You went and did the call center, you went and did the training, you went and did the shifts? And,
yes, absolutely. I mean, if in case you haven't heard of it, it's a story that a lot of people today, because a lot of my classmates in the training became my guys, and they're the... Most of them are already senior directors, vice presidents as well in the industry, in different big players, big companies right now. So I'll tell more about it as we progress. But so I went through the test and then I went through the recruitment process. And that's when I observed that, you know, there can be some levels of improvement in terms of how the recruitment can be done and how the testing can be executed. So I'm being a very insightful person. I try to look at opportunities and see like, you know, okay, they're like, this is a good way of doing it. And probably this is a way to improve it. And, you know, although I'm not probably what you would call a millennial, I barely made it. I still belong to the other generation. I could consider myself like still a person who has the ability to adjust and learn fast. So they were looking for technical support people, so I had to be tested technically. So I went to the computer, did everything. Essentially, I passed in one take, and they said, I'm going to be put in the lineup of probably wave 3 or 4 for the particular program that will be launched first in that particular site. It is in Novaliches, Quezon City. And then I said, like, how long will that be? And they said, probably in the next 2 months. So they went on. Sorry, after that, I got interviewed, blah, blah, blah. And they said, like, you know, wait for our call in the next 2 months. The following day, they called me. They said, like, Rafi, unfortunately, you don't have to wait for 2 months because after seeing your profile, we wanted you to be part of this class.
Cool.
So the following day, I came in. And the first thing that the trainer asked was, where do you see yourselves 5 years from now? And I had 29 more heads, so 29 more, 29 other, you know, candidates there or trainees there. And we were the batch two. We were the wave two for that particular site. And, you know, if I can just, like, move forward a bit, that site had 2,200 employees after a year.
Wow.
So we were just part of the first 60.
And it's incredible scale, isn't it? Because Teletech has about 50,000 employees, which for people listening out there in the West, it's just mind-boggling numbers, you know?
Yeah, and that is where the very colorful career started. I said, I told the trainer that I see myself 5 years from now being the site director of this site. And the entire class laughed. So they didn't understand it. I was really serious about it. And I was smiling. I said, like, and I'm not kidding. I said, 5 years from now, I wanted to be the site director leading this entire company here in the site.
Cool.
And everybody, you know, probably 26 of them or 25 of them said I was, like, stupid, you know, a dreamer, blah, blah, blah. And there were, like, at least seven who believed in me.
Did you do it, Rafi? I'm dying to know.
Unfortunately or fortunately, no, well, whatever, however you see it. I didn't make it in 5 years,
right?
Because I made it in 3 years.
Well done. Well done.
So 3 years I became a site director. 3.5 years I am the head in the Philippines as a vice president after 3.5 years. So on the fifth year, we bagged the biggest employer award in the Philippines. We overtook, if I'm not mistaken, during that time, it was an electronic company, I forgot the name, but they have like 23,000 employees. This is 2011. Then we reached 24,000. So I was given that award, and I said to myself, I think, you know, having this, you know, as an accomplishment, I mean, the company's accomplishment where I was really a part of for the past 7 years, I said, I think it's time for me to actually move on and look for other companies that may need my assistance and my help and my experience on how we grew Teletech from technically 60, being part of the first 60, or from 0 to 24,000 in a period of like 5.5 years, 6 years.
That's incredible. Huh? What are some of the learnings, some of the insights from that growth for
to
grow 24,000 in what, 5 years, 6 years, did you say?
Yeah. So you have to have a really good engine. And you really need to have very good partners, meaning you cannot do it on your own. I mean, even if your company has all these departments, all of these great leaders, you will need partnerships. You will need solid support coming from, smaller companies probably, or specialized companies. Like from a recruitment standpoint, that's a very important thing. The sourcing,
right,
the marketing, and the branding. These are all very integral part of you attracting the right people to come on board. Initially, it was all about volume. So one key learning was, like, you cannot rush quality. That's number one.
Right.
So there's always a price to pay for quantity. If you wanted like 2,000 in 3 months, you know, do not expect that you will get like probably the best performance from all of these people. Essentially, there will probably be a lot of fallouts. There will be a lot of non-qualified people that will be probably getting on board, but essentially because of the need to fulfill that number from a quantity standpoint, it becomes like, the standards are getting lower and lower.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean, that's so one thing to get the actual staff on the floor. But what about the kind of back end operations? What about holding the whole structure together? What about having enough, positive cash flow, enough funding to expand at this pace? What about getting the facilities in place at the right time?
Yeah.
Like how do all of those things fall in place?
I think we have during that time that company was growing. I hats off to our executive team, especially to our senior leaders. Like our CEO, Ken Tuckman, during that time, really is very much prepared in terms of like what he really wanted to see. He wanted to grow the staff in the Philippines three steps ahead of everyone. Meaning, while we are recruiting for one center, there is already, you know, a group of people working on the next.
Right.
I mean, working on the next to a point that we've already closed the deal with this facility. You know, architects, engineers are already working on the plans, and the construction is about to start. While our business development is already working on the next or the third site, in terms of like finding the market, you know, working with the local government, and making sure that we are that the you know vicinity and the city that we're going, it's going to be ready. But again, it boils down to strategic planning. The plan was like, where do we see ourselves in the next 5 years? So, or in the next 10 years. So during that time, I think we had the plan crafted very specific to where we need to see ourselves as a company. And Kent Tuckman has a very clear vision of how much of his business he wants to see in the Philippines after he saw the success in the initial site. Wow. He established really, you know, he put in a lot of investments. And this is where I think we became a leader is when we decided that we should take jobs to the outskirts. No one wanted to gamble to go to the outskirts. Everybody just wants to have a piece of the pie in the city.
Yeah, so sure. And even now, I mean, there's still not in much perfusion
yeah.
into the provinces.
Correct. So it was a bold move for us during that time. It was really a tough call because we paved the way for a lot of the cities as the pioneer company that established that. So I remember when we wanted to go to Dumaguete was just like small island, the Visayas.
Yeah.
They were, you know, even the clients, even our business development team are not convinced that that is going to be a good place to, you know, to put up a business and to really grow our staff. But one thing that they didn't know that we actually proved is that there is a very good, very, very good, you know, university that produces a lot of great leaders, great graduates every year. It's Seliman University that technically, you know, needs to go here in the Philippines, needs to go in the Manila or in the vicinity of the heart of the Philippines so that they can find jobs. I think the people are realizing now
that these towns can handle like
absolutely
sites of a
certain size. We were actually the first to gamble. We even had to, I remember I had people from Dumaguete shipped here, or we flew them here in Manila and had them trained here and took calls here just to, you know, show a baseline data that these are the results of these people. And these are the kind of people that we can get from that particular province or that particular outskirts city. And after showing that, you know, there were some clients, even though they're still 50-50, that agreed to actually ramp there. And eventually, we've able to prove that the model works. So after that, we went to Cebu, we went to Iloilo, we went to Bacolod. These are all, you know, provinces in the Visayas where no company has dared, you know, open a big operations. Maybe an operations of 50 to 100 people is not that, you know, probably dangerous. But establishing a site for at least minimum 1,200 to 1,500 up to 2,000 people, yeah, in all of our destinations, in all of the sites that we established, it was really a great bold move.
Yeah,
and always, it paid off. You know, we were able to pull it off, but at a certain point, you know, the law of averages will come into play. So growth has its price, as I said. After the huge push for growth, we had to establish quality. We had to establish streamlined processes so that we can deliver, you know, not only okay customer service, but extremely super satisfied customers to every client. And that is where we focused during the time that I was leading the company, I had my focus on the main thing, which is customer experience, superior customer experience. Every customer matters, even to the point that I myself take calls for you know, any escalations for any program. It has taken a toll on me because we already had US, we entered Australia, which is initially we experimented or we only had a trial of 20 people. When I practically left, that 20 people Australian support reached around 6,000 people already.
You actually had facilities in Australia, yeah, doing
yes, and during that time, Australia, New Zealand, we had very good facilities there, and we have very good, corporate presence as well in those countries. In fact, I was working hand in hand, and with our senior vice president then in Australia, and the country head, senior vice president in Australia. So I had a really good exposure in the Australian line of businesses. Essentially, this guy that I was working with, he became my boss. I mean, even if I am the leader in the Philippines, he became my boss because he's actually corporate and he handled everything that is part of Australian support. He became the CEO of Telstra here in the Philippines, just in case everyone's, information. I think he still is at the moment.
So it's big hitters, it's obviously big corporate execs doing big corporate roles. Telstra, by the way, is Australia's telecoms major telecoms provider. Sorry. So it's big names. Yeah. But what were some of the hurdles, though? It can't all have been, a busy but fairy tale ride. Were there not sort of cash flow crunches? Were there not, delivery shortfalls? There must have been.
I'll probably give you the. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No. I'm just trying to see if it was all.
Continue what you're saying.
I'm just trying to see if it was all roses or whether there were actually kind of a lot of internal hard hurdles to cross.
So much. No, I don't believe in all roses and things are going to go smoothly, as in every journey. It is actually the tough times that makes it worthwhile remembering. The bigger the pain, the bigger the joy, as we always say it in the company. Until we became friends with pain and with the challenges that comes along with it, we will never make it and we will never feel how fulfilling it is as an organization to accomplish such feat.
And what was one example then? What was one really crunchy moment where you were like, "Oh my God, we've overpromised or we've overdone it this time, and this is going to hurt"?
I think I was once asked. We had a big program. It's a telecom internet provider in the U.S. where we had 3,000 employees working for it, right. And there were 14 vendors. Across that particular campaign, there are 14 companies providing them, and they decided to cut the vendors into 10. And so they gave us 6 months, and they will rank every vendor, and whoever fails to make it from the top 10, it will be removed. I mean, that particular company shall be removed. During that time, we are the last, we were number 14, that particular program. So it's obvious that we're about to lose 3,000, FTEs for this particular support. I was working for another campaign, and they asked me, corporate, to actually, I was still, during that time, I was a manager, if I'm not mistaken, a senior operations manager. They asked me to take over and turn it around in 6 months. Wow. And, when you were given that particular job for 3,000 people and you're going to enter that particular, world of non-performance, of people who feels privileged, of, people having bad habits. That's why, it's obvious. The reason why you're number 14 is because you have a lot of things that are not necessary. You have a lot of bad practices. You have a lot of probably bad leaders. And I was only given 6 months to turn it around, or else we will lose that 3,000. And that's a tough part there, because you will enter and you will need to do the dirty job. I need to fire managers. I need to fire supervisors. And then I need to show people that, you know, there's no bullshitting. It's either we cut some, then lose everyone.
Wow.
And I had a lot of death threats. You know, my car got, you know, every day I will see letters in my car. There will be graffitis in my car.
Wow.
Just because I had to fulfill that particular mission. And for me, the animosity that it created became probably an experience that made me stronger as a leader, because I had to stand for the mission that I was given despite everything that is going on. I mean, a lot of people hating you, a lot of people saying bad things about you, a lot of people, like, you know, ruining your reputation. It didn't matter to me that time. What mattered to me is, like, where will these 3,000 people be if I don't make them part of the top 10?
Well done. And of course, you did. Where did you come?
I will say I wasn't able to make it to top 10, because after 6 months, we became number one.
Well done.
So
I'm beginning to expect that from you now, Rafi. That's incredible.
Yeah. So, and that's why it became one of the things that Teletech, you know, asked me to do. They actually started me doing troubleshooting for every problematic account. So I had to actually, when I was still, you know, in the middle management, I was an operations manager, senior operations manager, before I became an executive or a director, essentially, as a VP. But during the time that I was a manager or a junior director, I was like roaming around I was like literally asking or making or doing troubleshooting for a lot of our programs. Even in other countries, I had to actually travel to the US and, visit some of the sites there. Also traveled to Latin America or in Argentina, did some, you know, stuff there also.
Fantastic. This is the corporate experience that you bring now to Ascent and Ascentology. And so I actually want to get you back, and so that we can deep dive into what Ascent does and what that offers. And again, I just can't emphasize enough, when people join outsourcing, they don't just get people executing a task, but they also get you on board and all of your 14 years now of outsourcing expertise. So there's really incredible value there. So that'll be next episode, and we're looking forward to having you back. If anybody wants to get in touch with you in the meantime, how can they do that or learn more about Ascent?
They can actually check our website. It's ascent.net.ph, ascent.net.ph. They can actually send their inquiries there, or they can also email us at info.ascentology.net.
Fantastic. Okay. Thank you so much, Rafi.
You're welcome.
Okay. That was Rafi Makkapagal of Ascent BPO. And if you want to get in touch with Rafi or Ascent, if you want to know anything else about this podcast, then go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/192. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.